So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you on Wrestling Weekly.
Yes.
Yes, Les.
My clock fast or slow? Or?
It's a little bit off. We're a little bit late today, but that's okay.
Okay, just checking in. Just wanted to be sure. I'm full of myself. The Bengals 37-8 over the Vikings today, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Palmer hit for 330 yards passing, three TDs, seven different receivers, and they intercepted Culpepper five times. Not that they're going to play this way every week.
Yeah.
But
how's my Colts doing today?
Huh?
How's my Colts doing?
Your Colts, they won, but barely.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, a W is a W.
And then the Cleveland's ahead of Green Bay by a touchdown, so things are good here in the state of Ohio, Doc.
Ah, yes. It's an Ohio kind of day.
Tonight, WWE pay-per-view.
Yes. Unforgiven.
Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see by the reviewers tomorrow whether it's forgiven or not.
Yeah, we will. We've got a couple great guests coming on tonight. It's going to be Lanny Poffo.
Yes, the professor, the poet, the whatever.
The leaping guy.
Yeah, the wrestler, yes.
And TNA's Elix Skipper, who you know kind of well, Les.
Yeah, Elix, when he signed, WWE bought WCW and he picked up his contract, he was sent to to HWA train with us, and yeah, we had and I just saw him down in Columbus, Georgia, back the 1st of August. He's a good kid, and I'm really happy to see that he's doing well with TNA, and we should have a good talk with him. He's got quite an interesting background, and we also, in the news, you and I were talking before we went on the air, Hardcore Homecoming, canceled in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Because management in the Buffalo building, we were told, wanted the management of Hardcore Homecoming to accept any and all responsibility in the event of lawsuits.
Right.
Stemming possibly from WWE, because their legal people had been in touch with the building. Again, this is what we're going to let them understand. So anyway, it was canceled there. I guess they did around 500 people in Cleveland last night on Pittsburgh, and I haven't heard a number, but... you know, and of course it's going to say, you know, the whole, it's business. And I think WWE has got to play it straight across the board and not, you know, again, this comes back to the trademark thing. And, you know, it's such a gray line there that if you don't, if you give one guy an edge, then that establishes a precedent so somebody else can go to court with that.
Right.
You know, and again, it, you know, so it's business, right, wrong, or indifferent. It's about business.
Yeah, and it's what's going to happen. So I don't know if we're going to see any lawsuits come out of it or not. Hopefully not.
No, you know, it's, you know, and I hate to see any situation where guys can't derive a payday, and especially this crew of guys. You know, it's something that's going to happen. Maybe go around the horn once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see, you know, I don't see the big deal in it. But then again, you know, you and I are not billionaires, and those who run this company are. So.
Right.
Maybe we should be more hardcore. I don't know.
Jeff Jarrett has defeated Raven to once again become the NWA heavyweight champion.
Yeah, in Windsor, Ontario, Canada.
Yes, at Border City Wrestling. This is weird. Now, this was a house show.
Well, I understand that Mike Tenay and Jeremy Borash were there, and that they taped it, whether that's to be shown on the website or on their TV or whatever the case, I'm not sure. But and I guess Tenay, I'm told, was made an announcement that this was an experiment in possibility of doing house shows for TNA.
Ah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. America's Most Wanted did help Jarrett defeat Raven, though. And so that, you know, officially completes their tease heel turn.
Well, at least, you know, until the first TV in October.
Yeah, then we'll have to see.
Well, you know, that, I mean, the thing of it is, you know, it's really hard to say long term what possibly might happen politically or physically between now and then, you know. But, yeah, that's the way it would seem, though. And I think that's what they've been wanting to do anyway. When we had Chris Harris on a few weeks back, you know, he kind of voiced his opinion that that's something he had been wanting to do.
Right.
And so, anyhow, that yeah. Well, and of course, it's Jarrett's getting a lot of negative feedback on this thing, you know, and a lot of people are thinking, well, if he's going to take it into the first TV and then drop it back to Raven or drop it to somebody, wow, I don't know. I still say truthfully, you know, I think Monty Brown's coming along there. He's not ready to carry the ball, and I'm not sure that there is somebody there that's actually ready to carry the ball right at this moment.
I don't know. I was pretty satisfied with Raven.
Well, yeah, Scotty's got the you know, the background and everything, but I don't know if his time has passed, and I don't mean that in terms of his age or anything, but in the sense that how long he's been with the company, you know, and that opportunity was out there. But, of course, you know, with his television now, they could be dialing in a whole new audience who wouldn't understand that background, right? So,
right.
You know, so it's sort of a fresh start. We'll just have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the future, I like Samoa Joe as a guy to build toward. And he hasn't been overexposed on anybody's television, you know, unless you buy DVDs, you weren't seeing him at all.
All right.
He's legitimately looks like a tough guy. He comes across strong. He may be, his weak point may be his promos and that, but, you know, it's not against the law to change him, turn him heel and give him a manager.
Or a mask and not let him talk.
I don't want to know the mask. I think being Joe is the necessary thing, but, you know, and that's not taken away from anybody else on the roster. I just think that, you know, it's, well, this business a lot of times on being made a star or being given a spot, a good spot on somebody's roster, a lot of times just being in the right place at the right time.
Right.
You know, and, or in the wrong place. It's the wrong time to not get get that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it's, everybody's going to probably be gearing up and you're going to see a lot of audibles called. I think that the UFC thing makes, adds a variable that we can't be sure about one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously Spike's getting behind TNA a little bit, you know. But again, it's not so much do they have the product, it's how they display it. You know, and like Bruce Mitchell said last week, it's comes down to what happens in the ring. You know, I mean, all the other stuff aside, I mean, that's what the casual fan don't know you and I are on Sunday nights.
Right.
They don't read the sheets. And it's the in-ring product, you know, and I think that's what turned a lot of people, WCW fans, off. I was thinking about this the other day. I was dealing with a couple guys, mid-30s, who were businessmen here in Cincinnati during that whole thing. I remember watching how they switched from the WCW to WWF at the time in terms of their allegiance, and it all had to do with the in-ring product. You know, they were just, you know, fans. I mean, I'd sit and watch with them once in a while and, you know, just kind of more study them more than I actually would the shows.
Mm.
I think that's the case. And I think it comes down to that bottom line. But, you know, WWE is so deep in talent that's already established and what a great publicity machine they got, you know. And again, it doesn't matter in this whole scenario who's the heel, who's the baby face, who you like, who you don't like. You know, it's all about business, and the guy with the biggest guns is going to end up a winner.
Absolutely. Dudley Boys have signed with All Japan Pro Wrestling. Now, that's sort of a surprise to me.
Why?
I don't see the Dudley Boys in Japan.
Well, I don't know. You know, Mick Foley was in Japan.
That's true.
You know, and they're the same, one and the same, but I you know, more if you considered a hardcore style wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But Devon and Bubba can work too. You know, I'll tell you the truth. What they're harnessed with, the table thing, I'd hate to be harnessed with. Well, I guess it's all right when you're putting people through and not being put through.
Right.
You know.
But the
thing. I hate to think that every night of my life I've got to go out there and do a table spot. Just, you know.
Right.
But, and I had with TNA.
Yeah.
At some point, I really do.
They're going to make their first appearance on September 30th in the 2005 Real World Tag League. So, they're reporting that the All Japan deal may be in addition to an arrangement with TNA.
Right.
So, we could see some the Dudleys in October.
Well, that would be similar to the arrangement that Bischoff had with WCW with
New Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably along the same lines. Well, you know, that gives them not that the Japanese talent is ever get over here long enough or utilized properly, you know, to get over.
Right.
And to really be effective in drawing, you know, money. But still, it gives them an influx of, you know, like with the X Division, if it's, you know, they get Jushin Liger or, you know, guys of that, the cruiserweights, then, I think that'll add a dimension.
Dave and Earl Hebner, excuse me, are going to be guests on the Piper's Pit with Roddy Piper at the 4th Annual Night of the Superstars. And this is a benefit show that's going on for the University of Virginia Children's Medical Center.
Yeah, but in what, Waynesboro, Virginia.
In Waynesboro, Virginia,
right.
Yes, on October 29th. There's going to be a stack card for the event. It's going to be cool. It's Jerry Lawler versus Bill Dundee. With Jimmy V as the referee, Jimmy Valiant.
Right.
Dusty Rhodes versus Cowboy Bob Orton in a bull rope match with David Flair as the referee. Ivory versus Jazz. Al Snow versus Maven. Billy Gunn versus Rodney Mack. Mikey Batts versus Sanjay Dutt. Tony Atlas and the Patriot versus George South and the Russian Army. A lot of good stuff. For information, you can visit WFPromotions.com for that one.
Yeah, they do about 1,500 people, I think, or something like that, for those shows. Yeah, and it's mostly, you know, the old hand guys that were hot in the Memphis match, obviously, with Dundee and Lawler, but like last year, it was mostly guys that had been in for the Mid-Atlantic office.
Uh-huh.
You know, but yeah, that's quite a swing. I'll tell you, we were talking about Christian Wrestling Entertainment, the October 15th in Tulsa,
mm-hmm.
UnitingChampions.com for that information. Steve, Dr. Death Williams is going to be there.
Ah.
And we'll be honored. And, of course, Steve was a great All-American of Oklahoma and football, wrestled there, amateur, and certainly is, you know, one of the standout athletes that's come out of that state. So. And Matt Morgan's going to be on the card. So that's, if you're out in that area, October the 15th, UnitingChampions.com. CWE, it's their initial run, and we ought to have a lot of fun. Ought to be a good show.
Uh-huh. And Buff's going to be there.
And who? Oh, yeah.
Can't forget Buff.
The Buff, the stuff. next week is Harley's camp for you who've got any independent wrestlers. Listening, and out of this camp, it's 4 days, 21st through the 24th in Elda, Missouri, HarleyRace.com for more information. Harley was with us last week. It was about filled up. They had like 35 guys signed up, but this an opportunity. The top two guys will be picked for all expenses paid trip to Japan to train and live in Noah's Dojo for 3 months, and a great opportunity to set up a good business relationship with one of the top wrestling companies in the world.
Yeah. Going to be awesome. HarleyRace.com, check that out.
Oh, and we last week I said that our book probably wouldn't be out till the first part of October.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I lied.
Ah.
I just, from the publicist, from Sports Publishing, and Brian Alvarez is going to be with us later. He can talk about the irregular heartbeat of the publishing world as well. Anyway, supposedly that'll be in bookstores this next week, the Professional Wrestler's Instructional Workout Guide by myself, Harley Race, Ricky Steamboat, forward by Jim Ross, and the text by Alex Marvez, who we're going to have on the show at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that should be out, and you'll get a book to review, Doc.
Excellent.
Cool. Excellent. Cool. That sounds like, what's the beer commercial? Excellent.
I don't know. Me and beer? Come on.
Anyway, yes, the Professional Wrestler's Instructional Workout Guide. Check it out. Should be out this week.
It's going to be cool. All right, we've got Lanny Poffo and Elix Skipper coming on the show, but right now we're going to take a quick break. We've got Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter, and he's going to be doing Hot Topic with us coming up on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. It's time for Hot Topic. We've got Brian Alvarez on the line from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter. Brian, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Brian, I can't believe that a man who lives in Seattle doesn't know what's happening today with the Seahawks.
I've got no idea. I don't follow fake sports like football.
No wonder they can never win a championship. The fans take this devil may care attitude.
Yeah. Well, no. Actually, Vince last week spent 10 hours watching football. So
is that right?
Oh, yeah. I have friends that watch it, believe me.
So, Les, so you got to tell him about the book.
Well, I tell him that, we can discuss sporadic behavior of publishing companies. I know when your book, The Death of WCW, came out, that you and I corresponded, and it was in bookstores already and so forth, and you didn't even have a copy.
That's right. There were people that had read the book, and I had not been sent a copy yet, which I thought was sort of odd, but on the other hand, I didn't really need to read it because I wrote it, so.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, there you go. Well, see, that's what last week I told Doc. I said, our book is supposed to come out the 15th of this month, and it looks like there's a hang-up at the printers or whatever, so they're looking at the first, second week of October. And then I got an email from the publicist on Friday saying, do you have your copies yet? And it'll be in stores next week.
I think there's always a hang-up at the printers when a book is about to come out. I don't know if it actually affects when it comes out, but I think I heard the same thing. There's a hang-up at the printers that may be delayed.
Maybe that's just like, honey, I got a headache, you think?
That's right, yeah.
It's kind of like the writers can't find anything for you.
Exactly.
Well, since the Seahawks aren't the hot topic, what's the hot topic around Figure Four Weekly?
Well, I guess today would be the pay-per-view. There's a WWE pay-per-view today. Some people might be aware of that.
Some people.
I often forget until I'm reminded, but yeah, it's John Cena and Kurt Angle for the WWE title, and it should be a pretty good match, so I'm looking forward to it.
You think they'll put the strap on Angle?
I think that at some point they will. I don't know if they're going to do it today. I would be all for them doing it today, and I would be all for Angle destroying everybody until WrestleMania when I guess Cena would win it back, but I don't know if they'll do it today. They may want to build it up a little bit more before they put it on him, but I'm thinking that at some point soon he'll get it, so I'm very happy about that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about, Triple H coming in? Is he going to be part of this, championship war?
I think that he's actually going to be involved with Flair.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll actually be out of the world title picture for a while. That could change, obviously, at any time.
Right.
But I think that, because originally the plan was to do something, they wanted him to do a match with Flair at SummerSlam. And both guys basically said, we've been Evolution for so long, you can't just rush this match in a month or whatever. So I'm thinking it may be a WrestleMania match this year, actually. They'll build it up over 5 months or whatever and put it in a semi-main position or something. But I think that'll be the big program when Hunter comes back.
Yeah, that it seems like the most likely thing.
Hey, what's your opinion of Jarrett taking the strap from Raven?
I was trying to figure out why they did this, to be honest with you. I think everybody knew that it was going to happen at some point. I'm surprised it happened on a house show, but I don't know. I look at it two ways. Like, they could have waited until after TV to give him the belt, and maybe they thought that if fans tuned in to this show on Spike and suddenly saw Jeff Jarrett win the belt, that might be the end of them. Whereas if fans tuned into the show and Jarrett was already champion and there was somebody that was chasing him for the belt, they might be willing to stick around to see that person perhaps beat Jarrett or something like that. That's the only thing I could figure, because to me it's like the whole promotion is this X Division. The X Division is TNA. And I think it's so weird to see this old-school, southern-style, ground-based, non-charismatic wrestler slot down in the middle of it with the belt around his waist. And I think it's a bad move, but I don't think it's much of a surprise to anybody, really.
Right.
Yeah, now, I've heard speculation, too, that maybe he is going to drop it the first or second week of television to have some occasion, a special occasion on that opening week, first or second week. But then I don't see that happening either, because that doesn't do anything for anybody, honestly.
Yeah, I think that the first week they just have to, maybe even Monty Brown or somebody, start building him up as the next guy and start the feud then. They have to have a hot show. The first show's got to be hot, and I'm not sure what they can do. I don't think a cold title change is what they need to do, but I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. We were talking before you came on. I said, you know, to me, legitimate guy, the right time, the right place is Joe to push at this point, I think, because he hasn't been on anybody's television, and only if you're a DVD fan, you know, and he looks like a tough guy. His work is solid. He can move still. Monty, I think, is the future. You know, I think AJ still is missing whatever that one little something is. It's not in-ring performance, you know, but seasoning or whatever. But I just, you know, I see it as Joe.
Well, I think that they see Joe as a guy they want to have work all the X Division guys first. That's kind of the feeling that I have. I'd have no problem with them pushing Joe all the way to the top. No problem whatsoever. I think that they're going to want to get all they can out of him in the X Division first. The way that they did the finish at the last pay-per-view in the three-way, where he kind of got sent outside, and he lost the match, but he wasn't beaten.
Right.
One of those sort of finishes, and he had that look of he was very upset and that sort of thing, so obviously, they're going to still do something with him in the X Division, and I think he'll get the X Division title before the heavyweight title. So I think that's the direction they're going for now.
Yeah, in the meantime, I think we'll see Jarrett with the title for a while.
I'm afraid so, sadly.
Hey, the big numbers were in on SummerSlam, the biggest one, what, in 4 years or something like that?
Yeah. The thing with the buy rates now that people need to remember is that for a long time, the overseas shows, in a lot of countries overseas, you could watch the pay-per-views for free. They just aired on TV. And now, a lot of those countries, you actually have to buy the shows. So you're going to see a lot of big buy rates this year that really don't have anything to do with domestic business, because domestically, the numbers are probably down from last year.
Right.
But when you add in all these people that used to get them for free and now have to pay, you're going to see numbers go up, which is one of the main reasons that the WrestleMania this year did like 970,000 buys. It was because you had all the overseas buys counted in, which they weren't counted in the year before. But, you know, a buy rate's a buy rate, no matter where it comes from in the world. But I think that some people are maybe thinking that this was stronger than it really was. But it's still a very good number.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Hogan Michaels, you know, it was a dream match.
Yeah.
So.
It was nice. It was a good one.
Michaels, over this past 6 weeks, has just walked on water, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, really. The last, longer than that, really. Like, since WrestleMania. I guess since the first angle match, really.
Yeah.
It's just been, you know, really since he came back. Remember that first match when he came back after 4 years off or whatever with a broken back? And he came back SummerSlam and had that awesome match with Hunter?
I'll tell you what I think is I've loved watching him orchestrate more than anything is not so much the in-ring thing, but like the night he was on the Cabana with Carlito and Masters, is he picked them up and laid them down and kept the flow and was the Johnny Carson and the orchestrator of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Know? and just kept the flow going and everything. I mean, just like the maestro, man. He really was.
Well, I guess we'll see what kind of a maestro he is tonight, because he's got to have a good 20-minute match with Chris Masters, which is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, it's going to test him. You're right.
I think the house show matches, they've been good, so.
So what can we see as a preview if you're a subscriber to the Figure Four Weekly newsletter?
A preview of the newsletter this week?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. Well, as most of you know, if you subscribe to The Observer, Dave has some 18 and 24-page issues, and I could never figure out how he could do that. And these last, really, almost about the past year, I've sort of figured it out, and this is going to be one of those weeks where 12 pages is totally not enough. We've got, oh my gosh, we've got stuff on Jarrett winning the title, we've got the pay-per-view stuff, I've got a review of the Ultimate Warrior DVD, which I just watched yesterday, and it's something else.
Cool.
All the TV reports, we've got Ultimate Fighter stuff, UFC stuff, Pride stuff, and just basically news from, Brock Lesnar going to Japan, news from pretty much all over the world. So you can get information on how to check that out at f4wonline.com, and we've got free audio shows. In fact, Les was a guest last week.
Yes,
and
had a great time.
Yeah, we'll have you on again, because we got about maybe halfway through your career. I'm not sure. It's been a long one, so.
Give us just a quick flash preview of the Ultimate Warrior DVD.
Huh, let's see. Well, the Ultimate Warrior DVD, I was a huge fan of the Ultimate Warrior when I was a kid, because there was something about the Ultimate Warrior when you're like a seventh grader. He was just really cool. And it was a long time before I figured out he's really no good. Back then he was great. And so, like, I was watching this DVD, and I remembered everything vividly. Like, there were promos that I almost remembered word for word. There were moments in matches that I remembered. And it was in some ways it was really fun. But also, the point of the DVD was really to bury him and to show what kind of a fool I guess he was. And the thing is, if you really watched a lot of Ultimate Warrior, you knew that. You didn't need this DVD to really... I mean, just doing an Ultimate Warrior DVD would have probably been funny enough, and they went out of their way so much to prove that he was a fool that it really became overkill. And I think that, you know, before the commercial aired, I don't know if you guys have seen the commercial. They've got a trailer for the DVD.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, but before I saw the trailer, I thought this is going to sell no DVDs. Because if you're not a fan of The Warrior, you're not going to buy it. And if you are a fan of The Warrior, you're not going to buy it to see The Warrior get buried. But let me tell you, after I saw this DVD trailer, it's going to sell some DVDs. But when it was over, there was part of me that just felt like this was wrong. I really didn't need to see this guy buried like this. But at the same time, it was all true. They didn't exaggerate anything, but... may have been a little bit overkill, but it's something to see, let me tell you.
One of the great no-talented characters of all time in the business.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, even stuff like watching him beat the Honky Tonk Man in 30 seconds or whatever.
All right.
I mean, he couldn't do a thing, and Honky Tonk Man, you know, did 90% of the work here, but still, I mean, it worked for the time.
Right.
It worked huge, and it just kind of sort of drilled that into my mind when I watched it back.
You were the kind of, you would have been the kind of kid that trainers like myself would, when you sit down to talk about they're going to start training and say, well, who was your favorite when you were young? And if they say Ric Flair, you think, wow, okay.
There's some hope for this kid.
Yeah, but when they say Hogan or Warrior, you say, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. That would have been me. I'd have been kicked out of the first day of wrestling school.
Boy, we got our work cut out for us.
Oh, yeah.
Brian, I want to thank you for being on, and we'll see you again in a few weeks. Check it out, guys. It's f4wonline.com. The Figure Four Weekly newsletter.
Brian, you should be getting your copy of the training manual to review as well.
Great, that'll be awesome.
Cool.
All right, well, thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
All right, see you.
You too. All right, that was Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Weekly from the Figure Four newsletter. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got Lanny Poffo coming up on the show, so stick around. It's Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Hey,
We're back here on Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you. On the line right now, Lanny Poffo. And, Lanny, I do want to thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much. The pleasure is all mine. I've always wanted to be on your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, Lanny being a second-generation wrestler, and as far as my history, his dad, I remember seeing his dad when I was probably 9 years old. This would go back around 1950, here for the Al Haff promotion in Ohio. And then I was thinking today, too, about him being on the show, that the first big promotion I worked for was Barnett Doyle. And my first match I had for them was Indianapolis TV, and that was against Angelo Poffo.
All right.
And then I watched the kids. I feel old. I watched the kids grow up. And then now both the kids are retired, for Christ.
Mm-hmm. You began in 73, right, Lanny?
Yes, I graduated from high school in 1973, June 6th. And within 6 months, I found myself working for Gunkel Enterprises, Tom Renesto and Gunkel. They were going opposition to the NWA at the time, and that was an excellent start for me.
And you were as a tag team at International Champion Wrestling, International Championship Wrestling for a while.
Right. Well, we had our own promotion from 1977 through 85.
Mm-hmm.
And then we aborted that in order to get into the World Wrestling Federation.
Ah, yes.
Which was a merciful ending for that organization.
Really?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we did very well for about 3-4 years, and then we had some negative spiraling of downward momentum. As a lot of promotions are well aware of, it, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys, you and Randy and your mom and dad came into Charlotte when that must have been 74, 75.
It was 77.
Was it?
No, 76 and 77.
Okay,
I was there a year and a half. And I met you, and you were in charge of the magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the best magazine I'd ever seen.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that.
And, you know, coming from me, that's quite a compliment because I'm quite literary.
Yeah, well, I'm not. So I fake my way through years of trying to be.
Some people still don't know, but when you were in WWF and you did the poet Lanny Poffo gimmick, this was based on real life. You really love poetry.
Right. As a matter of fact, I got my start actually in the men's room of the Howard Johnson in Newark, New Jersey.
There kills one of my questions. I was going to ask you, at what age did you start writing poetry?
I had a lucky break. You know, some teachers are just in it for the paycheck,
mm-hmm.
and some teachers are in it because they love the children. When I was in the fifth grade, second day of school, Miss Pat Rufinock came to me and said, "Mr. Poffo, I want to see you at 3:20. That's when school gets out.
Right.
And she says, so I was really nervous. You know, I said, "Well, what did I do?" She said, "Well, that paper you wrote, how I spent my summer vacation, and the other one I had you do, tell me a little bit about yourself, was just wonderful." So Miss Pat Rupinak, who is now Mrs. Mokel, I dedicated my first book to her, because if it wasn't for her, I would have never had any idea that I had been blessed in any other ways besides athletically.
And that was your book, Leaping Lanny, Wrestling with Rhyme.
Yes.
Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it was the best of times and the worst of times, because I had a big contract with Walden Book, but because they changed my persona to the Genius, they dropped it.
Ah.
You know, so, but the thing is, also, the Genius was the greatest break of my life, mm-hmm. as far as a wrestler. So it was a small price to pay for such a great reward.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you got a new book coming out right now. It's a children's book, actually.
It's out, and it was nominated for the Newbery Award, and if you don't know what that is, every single year, American Library Association picks one book that exemplifies excellence in children's literature, and I was nominated. I did not win. And there were honor awards. I think 5 books were mentioned, and none of them were mine, but it was just a thrill to be nominated.
Oh, absolutely. This one's called Limericks from the Heart and Lungs.
Yeah, I'll give you a little example. A limerick, of course, is 8 syllables, 8 syllables, 5, 5, 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I start with people that can't read, or, you know, appealing to children, that are being read to, and it goes all the way up to the college level. Absorbent and yellow is he in his pineapple under the sea. The ocean's too wet for a lit cigarette, so SpongeBob lives happy, smoke-free. If smoking is cool as they claim, then why is it always the same? The first time you try, you wish you could die, the last time achieving your aim. When Columbus arrived at our shore, he discovered tobacco galore. The peace pipe was passed, although peace didn't last. The pipe killed more people than war. These are just, you know, and they go on up to college level. For example, when Sheila earned her Ph.D. with her boyfriend of equal degree, dissertations got tough, so they smoked off the cuff. How stupid can smart people be?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to lend ridicule to peer pressure.
Right.
It's not the smokers I hate. I do not hate smokers. I love Mark Twain, and he was a serious smoker. It's not the smokers. It's the smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I just don't like the peer pressure. I always ask, why did you get started? And they said, well, my friends were. That's a dumb reason to do anything.
Right. So this whole book is full of anti-smoking limericks.
That's all it's about. It's 335 limericks against smoking. Some are funny. Some are not. Some are poignant. Probably to improve the book, you'd have to eliminate about 100 of them. Because if there's some are better than others, evidently some may be not as good as others. But it was well illustrated. And they're both available on Amazon.com. And I've got a website, LannyPapo.com.
Excellent, excellent.
Was there a time when you were younger, before you started wrestling full-time, did you always want to wrestle because your dad did? Or was there a time when you thought, no, would rather write than be an athlete?
Well, naturally, I went through every phase that you can go through. But all three of us, my father, my brother, and myself, we all wanted to be baseball players. The best of us was my brother, who made 4 years in the minor leagues. And he was a tremendous hitter, but he had a collision at home plate where he separated his shoulder. Well, he went out and learned to throw left-handed and was signed by the White Sox organization, Chicago White Sox.
Right.
And as a first baseman. But because he looked a little strange doing it, he got cut. You know, and in baseball, they don't love you. They just take a number two pencil and strike your name from the list.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'd say he got the last laugh, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I remember we worked in a ball, I think, was it Greenville, South Carolina? No, Greenwood, South Carolina,
uh-huh.
Where he played, I think.
Yeah.
His minor league ball. I mean, your dad was, I don't know if you were on the card then, but I remember your dad was on the card then.
Well, Randy played in the Carolina League. He played in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And they played in all these towns, Columbia, and all of these different towns. And actually, here's a trivia question. Jimmy Pearsall, I'm not going to ask it in the form of a question, like an interrogative statement instead. Jimmy Pearsall was his manager. It was the only time Jimmy Pearsall ever managed anybody, any team, because he was a little too temperamental to handle people.
Right, I remember Pearsall.
If you see the movie Fear Strikes Out.
Yes.
With Tony Perkins.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I want to get to a couple questions from the chat room. Crusher Cox wants to know how your father's doing.
He's 80 years old. He turned 80 April 10th. I take him to church every Sunday, and then we switched it to Saturdays at 4 o'clock, mm-hmm. where a lot of the elderly people go. And he's slowing down quite a bit. And, you know, I just try to keep his spirits up. I know how to make him laugh.
Right.
And I think laughter is the best medicine. It causes endorphins and serotonin. And without laughter, you might as well be dead.
Right.
Before it slips my mind, be sure to give your mom and dad both my best.
Oh, yeah.
They love you, and they talk about you all the time. I told them I was going to be talking to you. They were very excited. You always treated them very well.
They're great people. They really are. I enjoy working with your dad. And you know, well, Doc, which you basically his dad and mom, when the boys started to work, in fact, that, you know, they just kind of, well, we're going to all get in this territory and kind of the family's going to move around. The boys are going to nurture their career and mature, and mom and dad's going to be a part of it. And that's basically what you guys did up until you started your own territory, right?
That's right. And even then, we continued. And then, of course, when 1985, when we got to the World Wrestling Federation, which I stayed until 94, and Randy stayed in a little further, but now I'm 50 years old, I'm a certified credit counselor, and what I do I work the night shift so I can keep my days free because I speak to schools all over the country. And on with my, especially, it's not all about smoking.
Right.
It's what I do in the Christmas time is I perform How the Grinch Stole Christmas by myself, and then I hit them with the anti-smoking message. And I also do the, of course, drugs, but I did the research, and this is the way to bet. Not true in every case, but non-smokers don't do drugs. Non-smokers have less propensity to fall into the several dilemmas of spiraling downward. For example, alcoholism, poor grades, dropping out of high school, and teenage pregnancy. Smokers have a greater risk at that.
Yeah, because it seems like smoking is the first step, and if you can avoid the first step.
If you can say no to peer pressure and
right.
get your confidence up, then you'll know that. And besides, I've got friends, and some of them smoke, and we don't vote for the same people. You know, friendship shouldn't be conformity.
Right. That's a good way of looking at it. Rubber Duck wants to know if you had any heat with the boys backstage because of your poetry. Did they not think it was cool or anything like that?
Well, no matter what you do, you're going to get heat with the boys. So I just accepted that and moved on. Some liked it, some didn't. Some liked it to my face and not behind my back.
Right.
But I got, in fact, I got to tell you, they didn't, there was some objection to me turning heel because I was like too good looking, which is a tremendous problem. I recommend it. Okay. So I was wrestling a particular, I said, I'm going to prove to you that I can turn heel because I had done it before and I knew I could.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into Boston Garden and I said, and they were cheering for me and I brought my Frisbees out and I said, my name is Lanny Poffo. I always know what's up. The Bruins haven't got a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And there was a riot. I mean, I'll tell you, I turned instant heel. And I had about four more verses, but I couldn't use them. And I said, just for that, no Frisbees for you. And then I said, well, because there's nothing more heelish than a guy that's good-looking and knows it.
Right. Where did you get the idea for the Frisbees?
I actually, do you know Al Costello?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really?
Yeah.
The Boomerangs.
Yeah. I decided to use scrolls, but they just didn't travel very far.
Right.
And I said, well, I can't use boomerangs, and I can't use, and the scrolls aren't making it, but I always loved the fact that you get free stuff, you know, because when I was, like, in the audience, I said, well, the kangaroos, they throw away the free stuff. So I just got an idea. I said, well, what really has a good hang time? What soars?
Right.
And it was the Frisbees. And so I embossed a poem on them, and I put the poem I was going to read on the inside. And then it teased the people into cheering for me.
Right.
Even if they didn't like me, they had to applaud because I was giving them free Frisbee. Yeah. I'm so glad I never get a lawsuit over that because one time in Long Island, one of the bigger fans hurt one of the littler fans and, you know, in the pursuit of a Frisbee. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, this is a gimmick that is going to be short-lived if, you know,
absolutely.
I've got to put a disclaimer on the Frisbee or something.
You do the infomercial with
Tony Little.
Yes. How did you get hooked up with that?
Just a lucky break. You know, sometimes we get, and it's led to a few things too. But I have the Gazelle. I use it regularly and in full frontal nudity. Yes, you can tell I'm a man. That's better than you could say for the late Bunk Harris, right?
Exactly.
I was trying to sneak a drink of water. You almost made me choke.
I'm sorry.
But Lawson wants to know, with your anti-smoking stance, how do you feel about steroids and other illegal drugs in wrestling?
Well, actually, Vince McMahon was actually testing for all drugs, especially when the jig was up and Vince was indicted before a federal grand jury and was found innocent.
Mm-hmm.
I never got the full story on that because that's about the time I left. But I believe Joe Weider had something to do with it because he had started the World Bodybuilding Federation, and it was a direct competition to him. But if naturally, you know, there's drugs are rampant in everything, you know, and get big, feel good, all these drugs, everybody's looking for a shortcut. Judy Garland was 14 years old when she got the Wizard of Oz, and she was a better singer than dancer, so they were yelling at her, saying, work harder, and she was getting tired, so they gave her pills to make her, you know, more energetic, the pills to go to sleep. Next thing you know, she never got over it. From 14 on, she was through as an individual. So they made her a star, but they ruined the little girl.
Mm-hmm, true.
So the let's face it, how many wrestlers my age do you know that are still alive? I mean, it's a sad situation. You know, turning 50 is a tremendous accomplishment in wrestling. Especially,
right.
If you ever see me drive?
No.
Well, the thing is, I'm a bad driver and I know it, so I'm ahead of the guy that's a bad driver and doesn't know it.
Right.
You know, so I leave a little early and I do not speed.
Absolutely. Lanny, we want to thank you for being on. It's been a great interview.
Too bad we couldn't get involved in any wrestling questions.
Yeah, we did. We really didn't have any time to get to any of that stuff. But did you end up getting any degrees or anything like that?
I went to the. I'm about to finish my college education right now, with an online course.
Excellent.
You know, and my goal is to become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very close to that goal. I've never really. This is the first time I announced it, but that's my goal. I'm close to getting my teacher certificate, and that's really what I'm. Because I'm doing all the speaking at schools. I'd like to be the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to catch them young. I think third, fourth, and fifth grade is the best. You know, that's what I'm best suited for.
Mm-hmm. You're still taking wrestling bookings now, aren't you?
Yes, I've gotten my foot back in the water, you know, because I had the website and then became a demand for it. And I said, but only on weekends, though.
Uh-huh.
But, Doc, real quick, what you may not know is Lanny's dad was a teacher.
Yes, that's true.
No, I didn't know that.
My mom was, too. They were both physical education teachers.
Mm.
And he was moonlighting wrestling toward the twilight years. And they were both very good teachers. But I don't want to teach physical education. I want to teach the regular ed.
Right.
You know, because reading is fundamental.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You got to check out Lanny's two books, Leaping Lanny, Wrestling with Ryan, and, of course, Limericks from the Heart and Lungs, the new one from Lanny Poffo. You can get all that information at www.lannypoffo.com. Lanny, we got to have you on the show again and talk wrestling next time.
Okay. I'll tell you what, it's been a fantastic pleasure and an honor, and thank you so much, and My dreams come true. I finally got on your show.
You're on drugs if you're talking like that. Lanny, thanks so much. My best to the family.
God bless you too. Thank you.
All right, brother.
Thank you very much. All right, Lanny Poffo here on Wrestling Weekly. He's a very smart guy.
Yeah. Oh no, you're kidding me.
I mean, I had no idea. I really didn't. I had no idea he was that.
Oh yeah, very learned.
That's pretty good. We've got Elix Skipper coming up on the show. Let's get to that. How's that sound, Les?
Whatever works for you, Doc.
I think we'll do that.
We got to come back and kick around the pay-per-view first, and then.
I'm thinking we'll do that, and then we'll go to Elix Skipper, and then we'll review the pay-per-view, and then we'll be out of here.
All right. Got you covered.
It sounds like a good plan.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. We'll be back right here on Wrestling Weekly in just a few moments with Elix Skipper from TNA. Stick around.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Doc Young and Les Badger, back with you here at Wrestling Weekly. It's time for our featured guest on Wrestling Weekly this week. From TNA, it's Elix Skipper. Elix, thanks for being on the program.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know what time it is.
Oh, yeah. It's prime time.
But I want to tell you that you're in my house tonight, Elix Skipper.
Yes.
Hey, I got houses all over the world. I can share them.
So, how you been doing? What's been going on lately?
Oh, actually, I've been doing really good. Staying busy. I'm at a show right now.
He's in Dothan, Alabama at the Farm Center. And we were just talking about that before he went on the air, Doc. They've been having wrestling there, my God, almost longer than I am old. I mean, really, they have. And he says they got a great house. I mean, that's a good part of the country for wrestling. Anyway, Elias and I ran to each other in August, and I was telling Doc when I came back from Columbus, I was bragging about Jerry's Great Arena. Isn't that a great place to work down there?
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, man, it's nice.
I tell you what, Doc, this guy, Elias, him and Alan Funk, Kiwi,
uh-huh.
and Jamie Noble, when they were all in my crew, they were the spark plugs. Man, they kept chatter, they full of fire, and everybody had to run to keep up with them.
That's right.
You were,
that's the way it's arranged. You either do it or you can't. If you can't step up, shut up.
Yeah. You were originally at the Train to the Power Plant.
Yes. That's where we got it from. We used to compete way back then. It just made training fun, so we just brought that same attitude over to Les School.
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere. We had a hell of a crew for a while there, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. And everybody, you know, you come in, you knew if you was coming to school the next day, you better get your rest. Because you didn't know what was going to happen.
how mean is Les as a trainer now?
No, Les is not a mean trainer. Well, he tried to be mean, but we most of us came from the power plant, so, I mean, we've been through all that mess, so, you know. It was like going to camp, you know, next summer, so we had fun.
Right.
It's like we've already been tortured, we've already been broken down. It's all happened to us. You can't do anything else to it.
Sarge makes me look like an old school teacher.
I mean, you know you had to do it, so you just got in the ring and did it. And you might as well compete and make the day go by faster, and that's what everybody was doing. That's what made it so much fun.
Yeah, we had about 30 guys going at one time, Doc. We had a tremendous crew of kids, boy. We really did.
Excellent.
And then we had, like, special guest guys coming down, Dean Malenko, those guys working with us. Oh, my God. That made the day go by even faster.
Yeah, it was a great place to learn, wasn't it, Elias? I mean, with the talent that was coming through, and you get critique from five different directions.
Yep, there was no way you can go wrong. Just with the people that was there, everybody was learning from everybody because you had drills where you would get in the ring, work 2 minutes with him, and then jump out 2 minutes with somebody else, and then you had, you know, active people on the roster coming down working out with you. It was like a win-win situation.
Excellent. How's TNA been treating you?
Actually pretty good, and we're all dying. I mean, you do not know. We cannot wait for Spike to start up next month. We'll do the first show on the 27th, but it'll air on the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot wait. We want to go head-to-head with WWE so bad. You know, everybody, you know, we'll do what it takes just so we can go out there with them, just to put another product out there just to get the fans back into watching wrestling again.
Excellent. I'm going to be watching. I know that for sure.
I'll tell you what. This is one of the guys, when the cuts came, that I questioned. I couldn't believe that they were letting him go. And, of course, he's made up for it. But I told him when I saw him in Columbus back in August, I said, I don't. If you ever jump and dive off the top of the cage like you and live through it, I'll kill you.
Oh, yeah. He got on me for that. Oh, you don't know how many phone calls I got about me doing crazy stuff, so on and so forth, but it's just one of those things. I just felt I could do it. Everybody's like, well, did you practice it? It's just, you know, you either can or you can't do it. I was like, well, two things are going to happen. I'll either A, make it, or I won't, and I got a feeling I'll make it, so let's do it.
Right.
We did it, and it worked out.
And you're talking about that Hurricane Rana?
Yeah, from the top of the cage.
On Wildcat Chris Harris?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine anybody even asking if you practice something?
I remember.
And then the funny thing is, we had a cage match like 18 months prior to the last one we had, and we told them we was going to do it, and they exited. They're like, no way, you guys are not going up here. So the last cage match we had, we didn't even say anything. And they kept saying, well, what are you guys going to do crazy? We're like, nothing, no, we're just going to keep it a ring, you know. We're not really going to use the cage. And they're like, no, guys, seriously, what are you going to do? We're like, nothing. Because we knew last time if we open up our mouth, they'll ask everything we want to do.
Right.
And sure enough, when we was doing it, I mean, if you was there and just, I mean, the whole arena, everybody yelling and screaming, everybody backstage, if they wasn't watching the TV, they was coming up on a ramp, they was coming around the side. When the cameras went off, I mean, everybody came out from the back, and it was like, you know, we were crying like babies up here when everybody came out clapping for us. It was like the best feeling in the world. I mean, it's one thing to get the fans, but when you get the boys in the back going, you know you did something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's it was a hair raiser, brother. I'll tell you, it may not be right up there a level with Mick Foley coming off the top of the cage, but it ain't far behind.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. Mm-mm. I heard the next day Les was talking about that. Did you see Skipper come off the top of that cage? Wildcat Chris Harris.
it was crazy because they TNA told me, he said, they was like, this is the first time we ever sold more replays than the actual pay-per-view, because everybody kept talking about, you know, what happened in the cage match. And they said that was the first time they ever sold more resells than the pay-per-view. It was crazy.
Excellent.
So many people were talking about it.
I like the way TNA nowadays is doing that. When they're trying to sell the replays, they show half the move, and then they freeze frame it.
Yes.
And they won't show you what happens. I think that's something you don't see a lot. I think it's pretty good. I think it's a pretty good little gimmick.
That's like the big tease. Because if you remember back in the day, you'd be watching wrestling, and the match would get good, and it's towards the end, and next thing you know, that was it. It would go off. You'd have to tune in next week to see the continuation of the match, and that's kind of what they're doing
right.
For the pay-per-view, to tease you, to make you want to order it so you can see what the remainder of what happened.
Absolutely, and it's working so far.
You know, Doc, my friend Elish is an adrenaline freak. Anyway, he's getting another one, but he used to have a crotch rocket. What'd you have? Was it a Kawasaki?
Oh, no, the Hayabusa 1300. It was work.
Oh, right, exactly.
Oh, goodness, that bike was ungodly fast.
And you got it stolen, right?
Yeah, they stole it out of my garage when I went to Japan.
Oh, man.
One of my tours to Japan, I came home, my garage was up, they stole it out my garage. Let me tell you, this bike was so fast, I was coming home, I was like maybe 3 miles away from, you know, my exit to my house. I'm doing 205. I mean, I'm flying on this motorcycle. Only reason I slowed down is because I had to slow down, you know, to get off at my exit. And I was doing 205. I had to slow down. Otherwise, I'd have kept pushing it. Because they said, stop, the bike could do like 230, and I had more work done to it. So I'm thinking I could get this thing up at least, you know, 240, 250. I got up to 205 and I had to get off of it. I was so mad at myself.
He rode this thing, Doc, between Cincinnati and Atlanta when he was up here with me. And if we didn't have a show on the weekend and he didn't have to, he'd say, well, Les, I'm going home for the weekend. I'd say, okay, and I'd cross myself. You know, we're going to scrape his butt up somewhere on my I-75 between here and Atlanta.
Oh, God, I used to fly home on that. But everybody thought I was crazy. I used to fly home on that motorcycle. It's like a cop would see you speeding, and the cop would just, like, F it. I don't know, I'm not even going to try to pull him over. It's a waste of time.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was one time I'm riding on a regular street, and it was probably, like, 35, the speed limit. Me, I was probably doing 60 or 70. Mm-hmm. So I see the cop turn his lights on, and he jumped behind me. And I'm like, what is this fool doing? So I slam on brakes. I spin the bike around. I throw it back into first. Pop a willy. Go by him doing a willy. And he just said, I guess he just said, F it. Turned his lights off. He's like, I'm wasting my time with this one. And he just left me alone.
Did you have a lot of trouble adapting to the six-sided ring?
No. Actually, when we saw it, well, first they told us about it. But once we first got the ring, oh, it was heaven. It was like we could do so much more in this ring. It's different. And the best part about it was, you know, WWE don't have it. So, you know, it's just something new that we have that nobody else has. So we had fun in that ring.
I want to take some questions from the chat room. We've got some live listeners.
Okay.
They're waiting to hear your answers. Chris B. wants to know, what was your opinion on the weekly two-hour pay-per-views that TNA used to have?
Actually, when I first heard about it, I'm like, what are they doing? That's like backwards. You don't do a pay-per-view. You know, you have a TV show and build up to the pay-per-view. But that's all they could get, so they had to do it that way. But, you know, we were known for that little pay-per-view, which we were doing backwards, you know, but it got us to where we're at now, so.
Mm-hmm. Lawson wants to know, do you think some of the huge spots, while they may look great, might desensitize the fans in the long run?
Some of the great what?
Some of the great spots, the big high spots.
No, if everything's done right, because in TNA we have a thing where, you know, we try to do some of the crazy stuff that you don't normally see,
uh-huh.
But we analyze it first. Or we'll come to Jerry Lynn, because Jerry Lynn's a master with, you know, all the crazy stuff that we try to do. So we try to make it make sense instead of just going out there doing stuff, catching each other and all this other crap, because, you know, that's what kill a match. You know, you want to do stuff that makes sense and not just jump right up, because, you know, fans are not stupid anymore. So, you know, we got to put some thought into what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Normster wants to know, the Normster, he wants to know how you got your nickname Primetime.
Oh, that was funny. I was down to WCW Power Plant training one day. The first they gave me Skip Over, which was a crazy name, but the reason why they gave me Skip Over was because all the new talent would always get skipped over, and my last name was Skip. So, yeah, it's funny. And then Glenn Gilberti, he watched me work in the ring, and he see me doing all this crazy stuff. Like, I was just walking the ring, and I start doing a whole bunch of flips. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, well, that's how I warm up. And he said, are you kidding me? He was like, yeah, that's how I warm up. You know, I flip every day, so when I have to do it in front of people, it's no big deal. It's just like, you know, walking the rope. It's just like walking in the ring to me. And he said, oh, my God, you remind me of Primetime, where, you know, you're just, like, over the top. Everything you do is over the top. And then he talked to Terry Taylor, and next thing you know, I was Primetime, you look Skipper.
And let's dispel all the myths right now. He is not Canadian.
No, not Canadian.
How did you get harnessed with that?
Oh, at the time when they first brought me out, they put all the Power Plant guys together, but they pulled me out, and they wanted to put me with Lance Storm. But they said, to put you with Lance, you have to be Canadian. But, you know, even though you're not with the rest of your friends, we got big plans for you. You'll be on TV every single night. You'll be involved in everything. So they said, the only way we can do it is to make you Canadian. How do you feel about that? And I was like, hey, if that's going to get me on TV every night, I'm Canadian.
Yeah.
And people really thought I was Canadian. Like, we do interviews, and they'd ask me stuff about Canada and so on and so forth. And Lance would jump in, because he's really from Canada, and he would answer the questions. So everybody swore up and down, you know, I was Canadian, but we had them all fooled.
What were your views on the TNA commercials airing on WWE TV? This is
great.
It's from Agent Orange.
Great.
One just aired on Heat, by the way.
Ah.
I just finished watching it. Go ahead.
Whatever we can do. A lot of people already know about TNA, but when they can have a show and we can, you know, put commercials in their show, we're just going to get more of their fans. But it's not like, you know, it's underground wrestling. Everybody know about TNA. And all we need is a time slot, which we're about to get, and we're just going to take over. It's our time now, so it's bound to happen.
Crusher Cox wants to know what your feelings are in regards to WCW. When they were pushing the Cruiserweight division, they made him take a back seat a little bit to Hogan, Sting, and Steiner, and people like that, who weren't getting too much crowd reaction at the time. When on the other hand, the Cruiserweights were putting on the best matches and getting the better crowd reactions.
Back then, I remember it, you know, as clear as day. You know, everybody was, and some people were right and some were wrong, because it got to the point with Cruiserweights where they would do stuff and it wouldn't make sense. They'd just go out there and do it. But half of it wasn't our fault, because they'd tell us to go out there and have a car accident and keep flipping and flying, and, you know, the crowd would go crazy, but it didn't make sense. But then once Vince sat down and talked to us, he's like, hey, I know you guys could do it, but you need to do it where it makes sense. And we're like, we don't have a problem making it make sense, but we're just doing what we're told. And back in WCW, if you thought, you know, what you wanted to do was more important than what they wanted to do, you was off TV. So we just started doing, you know, we started doing matches that made sense, and people got behind it. It got to the point where you'd see they started the Cruiserweight Tag Team. Nobody else ever had it. That was, like, one of the biggest things back there before WCW went out of business, and people were dying to see, you know, what were we going to do.
You know what? I don't think anybody has utilized the Cruiserweight division properly. I've talked about this before, but back when I was a kid, Al Haff promotion out of Columbus, Ohio up here, was one of the biggest in the country, and they ran junior heavyweights, which is just the equivalent of the Cruisers. And they ran a big tournament every year, and it was like a double main event, the finals in one of the 3C cities, Columbus, Cincinnati, or Cleveland. Dayton also had it. But anyway, and, you know, they made the junior heavyweights stand out, too.
And yeah, I'm sorry. That's what I love about TNA, too. because it got to, like, when Vince was first doing it, he said, we have heavyweights, we have the X Division, we have tag teams. And he said, as far as he's concerned, it's not about the X Division, it's not about the heavyweights, and it's not about the tag team. It's about what the people want to see. And at that point in time, they wanted to see the cruiserweight matches, and that's why some of the shows with TNA, you'll see the cruiserweight match, the main event, or the X Division match, the main event. Or we just had the last pay-per-view where you had Chris, AJ, and Samoa Joe. What were they? Main event. Because half the stuff they do, I don't care what after it, you're not going to be able to follow it. Because if the cruiserweights do what they have to do and they do it right, I don't care who come after them, you're not going to be able to follow it.
Well, the MLW has a question in the chat room. He says the wildest highlight in your career is the Hurricane Rana off the top rope. But what were some of the wildest things that you've witnessed in matches you've seen?
Oh God, I've seen some crazy matches with fire. We got the thumbtacks, the millions of thumbtacks all over the place, going through double, triple tables. I mean, there's a lot of crazy things. And, of course, Nick Foley, you know, the legend of all of it, coming off the top of the cage, going through, you know, a table. People like that give us the ideas for the stuff that we do now. And it's not that you want to top them. It's just like, you know, you just like to be known for doing something as crazy. And it's not like you're going to do it every night, because if you do it once, you know, right the first time, you'll never have to do it again. And with that being said, I'm hoping I never have to walk on the top of a cage again.
Or if you do it wrong the first time, you may never be able to try it again.
There you go. That's right. You might just get that one chance.
Are you afraid of injuring yourself at some point?
I never think about getting injured. I know it's going to happen, but I don't really think about it. Actually, the first time I ever really got injured, it was when I first came to Les Cool by Romeo. He put a leg lock on my leg and tore my meniscus. But that was the first time I ever got injured in wrestling. It wasn't even in front of people. I'm ready.
Chris B wants to know who your dream opponent would be, whether it be TNA or WWE or somebody from the past.
Oh, my dream opponent would be Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit.
Yeah, Chris Benoit. I always wanted to wrestle him. I worked out with him in school. Once him and Dean Malenko in WCW, they won the tag team belt. We worked out with them, and I always told him I'd love to go head-to-head with him. So he's my dream opponent.
Who did you like growing up? Who did you watch?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, it was Hulk Hogan. It was Harlem Heat. Who else was it? Oh, my goodness. I can't even think right now.
He said Hulk Hogan less.
I know. I heard it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the one. He's the reason why we're here today. People can hate him if they want, but, you know, people always love him. He's the reason why all of us are here today.
Yeah, that's true. Chris wants to know what some of your memories are of Mike Lockwood and Chris Candido.
Of Chris Candido?
Yeah, and Mike Lockwood.
I remember Prince back in WCW actually having matches with him, and he was a really great guy back then. And then, of course, in TNA we had some matches. But, you know, he was always a nice guy, always. Very professional.
What time does your show start? Because I'm hearing things in the background.
Yeah, it's a bunch of people right now. They're all going back to their seats or whatever it is. That's why it's hard for me to hear you guys.
Has there been any other discussion for another push for you in regards to the X title?
Actually, what they're working on right now is they want people to kind of forget about me, and then they want me to be the old me, like the way I was in Triple X, you know, no playing around, no nothing. Using my martial arts, beating people down, and then I'll be going back for the X belt again.
Okay. MLW wants to know what your favorite gimmick match is to watch and be a part of.
I love gimmick matches, but I'm more like, just if you know me, I'm more of a real wrestler. I like the mat wrestling more than anything else. I mean, I high fly, but if I had a choice between high flying and walking ropes and all that stuff, mm-hmm. I'd rather take the person in the ring and we can mat wrestle for like 30, 40 minutes. I love mat wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Lawson wants to know, do you feel like TNA and WWE can coexist peacefully, or does TNA need to have a do-anything-to-win mentality?
No, I think TNA needs to just do what they're doing. As far as coexisting, WWE already got rid of everybody else, and the stuff that they're putting out there now, nobody want to watch. So they need some type of competition to make people, you know, it's just like McDonald's and Burger King. They need people to, you know, they're either going to go to this place or go to that place. When they have just one choice, it's like, well, if I can't see The Rock this week, I'll watch him next week. And that's not the attitude we need for wrestling. We need some type of competition.
Absolutely. Elix, our time's running out, and I want to thank you for being on the show. It's been great. I can't wait for TNA to start October 1st on Spike TV.
That's right. We'll be taking over. Finally get our chance.
Prime time. It's always a pleasure, my friend. If I can ever be of service, you let me know.
Oh, you got it. And thank you so much for all the stuff that you helped us with in the past.
God bless you, my friend. Good luck to you.
Yeah. You have a good show tonight, and stay safe. Stay safe.
All
be careful.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care. And you know what time it is. Prime time, baby.
All right.
That's right, Elix. Bye-bye. All right, Elix Skipper here on Wrestling Weekly. Les, man, we were having some problems during the interview.
Well, I don't know what happened. I was kind of letting you take the lead there. I mean, I've talked to you actually on a daily basis for a long time.
Yeah.
So
don't ever let me take the lead again.
I'll not.
No, I was having some little production problems, but they're set. We're good. So
I want everybody to stand up and give my co-host Doc Young a big round of applause for being able to produce and co-host this show. Walk and chew gum at the same time.
I swear, we need a producer on this show so bad that you wouldn't believe it. But we're gonna do that. We're gonna do that sometime. Gonna get a producer for the show.
That's in the budget, right?
It is in the budget.
All right.
It's projected. We are going to take a break when we come back. Guess what, guys? It's pay-per-view night and Unforgiven WWE coming up. In just a little bit on pay-per-view, we're going to run down the card and get Les's opinion on all the matches, and we're going to make some predictions.
All right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Unforgiven preview coming up right here.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Welcome back. Doc Young and Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. It is a pay-per-view night, fellas. WWE's Unforgiven coming up in just about 20 minutes.
And I want to mention that just run the second TNA UFC commercial on Heat.
Two on one program. I bet they're filming
that. Yeah, well, they run the UFC commercial right behind it on this one, too.
That's business, you know? It's just...
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, you know, why would you think any different? I mean, where do you promote to wrestling fans at a wrestling show?
Exactly. You WWE, know? I know they don't like it, but they know business when they see it.
Yeah.
And they know that it's the right thing to do. All right, WWE's Unforgiven pay-per-view. Shelton Benjamin is going to be taking on Curran White this evening.
You know what? They'll have a good match. I don't know. I just bless Shavo's heart. Yeah, I love him to death. And he's a good hand. You know, I'm glad the gimmick doesn't affect his work. They should. It should be a good match.
Yeah,
be a good match.
It really should. Cause
I don't know. I don't know what's up. You know, with Shelton, it's like they push him and then kind of forget about him and push him. And I don't know. You know, it's there's a lot of guys here that need to be nurtured a little bit, and he would be one of them, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Stupid gimmicks aside, I think, you know, Chavo Guerrero and Shelton Benjamin, two very, very good wrestlers and really shouldn't even be starting.
Yeah.
The only reason they are starting, I think, is because they've been saddled. Well, at least Chavo's been saddled with this gimmick.
Right.
This is the reason that it's going to be an opening match. But I do see Curran going over because it seems like he's the one getting the push here.
Yeah.
I
would go the other direction, honestly, because the gimmick is just...
You can't put the belt on that gimmick. I mean, when I say that, Shabu is the champion, and maybe that doesn't make sense to everybody, but that's just the way I look at it, you know? That guy doesn't wear a title.
Right. Okay, so we'll have to see next week who wins.
Okay.
The last pay-per-view, I got to tell you, the last pay-per-view, all the predictions I made, they were all absolutely true. That was for SummerSlam.
Well, hey, a predictor I may not be. I have no earthly. And you know what? Sometimes I think in logical terms, and a lot of times shows are put together in that same terms.
But that's the fun of it. It's a fun little game to do the predictions.
Gotcha.
Trish and Ashley versus Victoria and Tori.
Do I see a 4.5 star here? No, I don't think so. You know, I don't see the value of putting these girls or guys that aren't ready out there. But you know, who's to say?
Yeah,
it just means that Victoria and Trish got to work their butts off to make these other two girls. You know, I mean, well, Tori makes no bones, but she's not a worker.
Right.
You know, and she does. I mean, she's just not a worker. So anyway. Okay, you know, I know that's your favorite match of the night.
Why do you have to go right there?
You're mad that it's not a lingerie match, right?
Well, we could see something. You never know. It is pay-per-view.
Oh, all right,
anything
whatever.
Anything can happen in the WWE.
Whatever.
No, but seriously, I do see Trish and Ashley going over. Trish is just coming back from... injury, and Ashley's new, and
would really make sense is if Victoria beat Trish and won the fall, and then that made Trish put the belt on the line, because honestly, they're the only two girls on the Raw brand that can work.
Right.
So there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. Your choices are little or none.
The this may not come as a surprise, but the Hurricane Rosie taking on Lance Cade. I almost called him Garrison Cade. Lance Cade and Murdoch.
Yeah, I worked with three of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Murdoch from down in Harley's, and of course Cade and Rosie both spent a year with me.
Right, and how good of a wrestler is Murdoch, though?
He's a good worker.
Yeah.
He's a very good worker. Yeah.
He's.
I'm glad to see Lance get the break, and he's allowed to be Lance once again.
Yeah.
We worked the year of bringing his personality out in it, and I wasn't sure what this gimmick was going to look like, but he's doing it justice, I think. I just hope that the writers don't over-push the gimmick and let the guys rely on their work. And, you know, and I think Trevor's going to just have to settle into the character, because it's obviously not something he's been doing all his life, you know. But I see an upside to them. I think, I think they'll probably put the belts on
him. Yeah.
Although that the sad thing is the way they've been using Maddie or Rosie and Hurricane, it's the belts don't mean a lot right now.
Right, just for the fact that they haven't used the Hurricane and Rosie in a long time, and when they do use them, they don't use them very well, and they're not putting them over. I mean, this is a gimme. The Cade and Murdoch are going to be the tag team champions by the end of the night.
Yeah,
that's my prediction. Next up, we've got the Big Show taking on Gene Snitsky, the Foot Lover.
I think I've seen this one.
Yeah.
It won't be a technical masterpiece. I see show over. For no other reason than I just see show over.
Mm-hmm. Big Show's been getting a big push lately. Taking on two guys at a time. Which I think we've seen enough of that, and now it's time for him to go one-on-one with a big guy, Gene Snitsky. And I see show going over for the simple fact that I'm a big...
I'd like to see my friend Paul drop a few LBs is what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
I mean, for health's sake, for no other reason. But anyway, move on.
But I'd like to see show go over just for the simple fact that I'm a Big Show mark.
Okay.
So there's that. Edge versus Matt Hardy once again. I think we've seen that.
You know what? I don't know. This whole thing has gone. I'm not sure where they're going with it. So I'm really hesitant to pick anything or anybody at this point. I hear that everyone seems to be pretty certain that Hardy may go over in this one. You know, but he is what one. But you know, that's the other thing too. If it, depending on how it's done, one of the things that when Ricky Steamboat was doing the Charlie and I, one of the things we used to, questions we used to play around with as trivia, well, you know, how many times think Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat have wrestled? And, you know, somebody guessed 100, somebody guessed 200, somebody guessed whatever, you know. But,
right.
But the point was, well, then we'd say, well, how many times do you think Steamboat got his hand raised that he won? And the answer was three. Three times.
I would have guessed two.
Three times. Well, but I mean, the point is, if it's done right, you don't have to win, right?
Right.
But it's just, it's in how you lose. And, you know, they've pretty much beaten Matt down. I don't know, but I thought that the deal off the off the stage, brought him back in the game, and then they turned around and had, was it Snitsky beat him or somebody beat him? You know, I mean, of course, the interference was with Edge, but at some point, you start making your baby face look like an idiot.
Yes.
When the heel outsmarts him in every move. The baby face at some point is supposed to outsmart the heel.
Right.
And I would assume if we're going to keep this thing going or even make sense of it or keep Matt Hardy in the game tonight, he's going to have to come out on top.
Yes, and I agree with you completely. I see Matt Hardy going over tonight. And
I feel much more comfortable in my prediction, Doc, if
yes.
You're predicting the same thing.
Yes, and as you should.
As I do.
No, because for the same reason that you said, and I don't think this is going to be the end of it either. But I do see Matt Hardy going over tonight.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels versus Chris Masters. What do you think of Chris Masters' work?
I think he could go back to OVW and spend some time. And but if he's been spending time with Michaels on house shows, that's an education in itself. I just think, you know, not unlike several guys, he was brought up way ahead of his time. You know, that's not to say he's not going to learn, he's not going to get it. And I know people are saying, well, you know, he's a lot farther along than Luger was at the same point. But what are we saying here, right?
Right.
That I can outrun a 95-year-old man. Okay, what's your point? That doesn't make me fast. It just means I'm faster than that 95-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Michaels will continue a string of making the kid look good. I honestly, it's how any of these guys, it's how Cena's going to get better in the ring. Masters, and when I say that, I'm not comparing Cena and Masters, but John needs, you know, to up his in-ring, too.
Mm-hmm.
Working with the Angles and Michaels and Benoit's and Guerrero's and whoever's of that, you know, nature, or even Foley, if he's coming back in to any degree in the ring. And when I say it, he may not get down in mat wrestling like Dean Malenko, but Nick is a master at timing and psychology and that sort of thing, and that plays a big part in our business.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to have to go. And this is a tough one for me tonight, but I'm going to have to go with Masters because I think they're giving him a big push, and I think they want to continue that. I don't think it's going to be clean.
Well, you know, and there at some point that you know that you can't everything can't be a weak DQ or run-in. And once it gets that way, there's an old adage to the business, and I've heard it. This goes even back to when I was in my heyday. If the fans start looking to the dressing room every time the heel gets in trouble, then there's a problem.
Right.
You know, and what I mean, and that means, you know, that the run-ins are becoming too frequent, and which, you know, the same. You know, it's like we were talking about the high spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're done properly, if they're not overdone, if you don't see the same high spot in 77 successive matches, then it means something.
Mm-hmm. And when Elix did it, it was it set a precedent. Actually, it was a good way to get looked at.
Well, and I think you know, but I think see what somebody needs to hear what he said is if he would rather go out there and wrestle you 30 or 40 minutes on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other things are, you know, are to the limit. And here's the thing, you know, and I'm not bashful about saying this. I look at it from a performer's aspect, a competitor's aspect, from a wrestler's aspect, and I don't want to see these guys in wheelchairs before they're even ready to retire.
Absolutely.
You know, and you got to realize, like, Mysterio's had, what, four knee operations. He's, what, 26, 27 years old?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... your body can only take so much, no matter what kind of shape you're in, you know, and you know, it's just not, it's not practical.
Mm-hmm. So back to the match, how do you think they've been doing as far as putting over the master lock? I think they've been doing a good job of that.
I think Michaels has done the best job thus far.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's been, you know, he, now, you want to talk about a good worker? How long did he stay in that thing before he finally passed out in it?
It's a good couple minutes.
That's a gimmick that got good heat back in the 60s and 70s, but I don't think it's got that much steam behind it anymore.
No?
I don't think it means that. I mean, they're trying to make it mean something, but here's the other part, too. Masters doesn't have the experience to give it a lot of depth, so it's got to come from the other end of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
See, so that's, so, you know, again, there's only so many Shawn Michaels and Chris Benoit and you know, Ric Flair, so.
Right.
And then, of course, Flair's doing a teaching job tonight, too. When I say that, I think Carlito benefits from working with veterans.
Exactly. That moves us on to our next match, the Intercontinental Championship between Ric Flair and Carlito. Carlito, yes, has a lot to learn.
But logic, the thing about this title, and they haven't, to me, it's like, I'd rather have Flair come out and say, well, you know, this is just something that, you know, I've held every major singles title, and this is one that just escaped me. But the way they make it, like he's never held this. Well, hell, he was world champion 16 times. Like, who cares? It's like saying that the New England Patriots never won the single A Ohio High School League, so they're going to go back and, you know what I mean?
Right.
They've only won 3 Super Bowls, so they got to go back and win the high school title. It's just, I mean, the way they're going about it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I would see the value of putting the belt on Flair a little bit, you know.
Really?
And if what, like Brian Alvarez was saying at the top of the program, if they indeed are planning on him, Helmsley, working something with Flair, that might be, you know, the way to work into it, who knows?
Yeah, but again, doesn't that go back to what you just said about, you know, winning the Super Bowl, the high school title?
But I don't think that the belt means that much right now, the Intercontinental belt. I think that the U.S. belt that Benoit's got has taken an upswing just since they've made it mean something, and even the deal with him beating Orlando the way he's doing it, I can see Orlando wearing that belt again, and he'll get more heat out of it because of the way he's been getting beat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, it comes back to, you know, Steven Spielberg can write the greatest whatever, and if you and I are acting in it, it's not going to be too good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's, you know, I don't care who's, you know, it's got to be a blend of the talent, of the storylines, and everything all run together.
Mm-hmm. I think Carlito needs the belt more than Flair. I think they're going to keep it on him tonight. I've taken everything you said into consideration, and that's what makes this game fun, is because it puts us on the same level, because it does make sense the way you say it, but that doesn't mean that's going to happen.
No, exactly. It doesn't, because making sense is not what this is all about.
So that's why this game puts us on the same level.
All right.
That's why I'm going to go with Carlito tonight.
Okay.
In the main event, the WWE Champion, John Cena versus Kurt Angle. Man, have they been making Kurt look like a monster lately.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, I'm tired of the sameness of a lot of things on their programs. One of the things is the sameness of continue on both shows of turning an opening singles match into a tag. It's like, okay, I saw that earlier in the week.
Uh-huh.
You know, not that the same things don't work more than once. They just don't work 5 minutes later more than once.
Right.
Right? And I'm getting tired of watching John Cena. And believe me, I like John Cena, the person. I had a chance to work with him when he was in Ohio Valley and become a friend, and he's a nice kid, and I wish him nothing but the best. But he's not 7 feet tall and 4,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the value, and, you know, I don't see the value of putting him in these handicapped situations all the time and killing off the other talent.
Yeah.
He's
doing double the damage.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just, but it's here's the other thing. the common sense and psychology tells me that at some point I start to wonder, is this good guy, is he just an idiot? Does he keep, why, you know, well, and if he finally gets his butt handed to him, why shouldn't he? He keeps sticking his head in the lion's mouth. The lion's going to chomp down on it sooner or later.
Right. It's like Michael said a couple of weeks ago. You think after all this time I would learn not to get in these situations?
Exactly. And see, and at some point it just becomes the same old, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like seen, been there, done that, you know? And so anyway, that's where the wrestling people come in.
Yes. I am going to have to go ahead and say Kurt Angle's going to go over tonight.
Well, you know, I'm kind of like Alvarez. I think he will. I just don't know when. And they may want to establish one win for Cena before they do it.
Uh-huh.
See, because if these guys have never met in a title match, have they?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, then there's a chance that might be the psychology, too, is to establish that Cena can win before they actually take the belt off of him. So then at least you know you've got competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to wrap things up for Unforgiven. That's going to be starting in just a couple of minutes here on pay-per-view, so don't forget to order it.
And yeah, next week we got Mick Foley, right?
Yes, we do.
To talk about Scooter.
Yes, he is going to be on the show.
Yes, his baseball book. And then I want to mention, of course, October 15th, the Elite Pro Wrestling Training people, Dr. Tom and I will be in Tulsa, Oklahoma with the CWE people. You can check that out at UnitedChampions.com. We're in a great lineup there. AJ Styles on the card, Matt Morgan. Dr. Death Steve Williams will be in the house, Terry Taylor, Shark Boy, a bunch of guys. Check
excellent,
it out.
Excellent program it's going to be.
Yes. And November 11, 12, 13, Dr. Tom and I will be joined by one of the legendary Four Horsemen, Tully Blanchard.
Ah.
We're doing a three-day camp in Rutherfordton, North Carolina at the RS Middle School gym. And we'll have two rings going all 3 days, so it's open to beginners right through experienced wrestlers. And you can go to niwrestling.com for more to sign up, more information, or email kco365@yahoo.com. December 1, 2, and 3, Dr. Tom and I are doing a three-day camp in West Liberty, Kentucky, Retro Wrestling Alliance, the Morgan County Community Center, and there's a show on the night of the 3rd. You can go to rwaonline.biz to sign up. You can get all that information on epwt.com, and I'll take a header here and say that, hey, our book may be on the bookstore this weekend, and again, hell, it may not. Who knows?
Just go check it out and see if it's there.
That's Professional Wrestler's Instructional Workout Guide by Harley Race, Ricky Steamboat, myself, and Alex Marvez does all the text, and with a forward by Jim Ross.
Yes, JR, good old JR.
Yes.
It's going to be excellent. I want to thank Wrestle Talk Radio for their help tonight. They've been a big help. Also, don't forget, for all your wrestling needs, it's obsessedwithwrestling.com. Check out what Les is up to every day at lesthatcher.com. Also, it's epwt.com. That's Elite Pro Wrestling Training. Find out all the good information about the camps that are coming up.
Yes,
and,
very cool.
All that good stuff. So next week, it's going to be Mick Foley. He's going to be our featured guest talking about his book, Scooter.
Well, is he going to be sitting still someplace, or are we going to catch him in an airport or on a cab? Or
I have no clue. Knowing Foley, we are going to catch him in transit somewhere.
There you go.
Because he has been super busy promoting this book, and he's got WWE coming up. We're going to be talking about that. It's going to be a great show next week. So this is the show that you don't want to miss. Mick Foley next week on Wrestling Weekly.
Doc, it's been a good one, good football day, and cross your fingers for the Redskins at Dallas tomorrow night. They never win in Dallas.
Absolutely. Check us out every day at WrestlingWeekly.com, guys. We'll see you next week when Mick Foley is our special guest. Good night.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us again next Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern right here on WrestlingWeekly.com.